อรหัตโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอรหัตโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะสาธุสาธุสาธุ It's the 12th January 1992We will continue our Dhamma talk about the law of a cause and effect, purification by overcoming doubt. Yesterday, we explained how a meditatorrealizes cause and effect of bodily and mental phenomena. And also how he distinguished between mental process and physical process. When his concentration is good enough. There we explain. When you observe rising, falling movement of the abdomen, or when you observeLifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, movement of the foot. With the deep concentration, you can realize the dual process of a mentalPhenomena and physical phenomena. Observing deeply on rising and fall of the abdomen, you find rising movement and the mind that notes it. Falling movement and the mind that notes it.When the concentration is very, very deep, you are not aware of your abdominal form. You lost the sense of abdomen, and also you lost the sense of your bodily form. So, in the whole universe, what you are realizing is justnatural process of arising movement and the mind that notes it. The same with falling, the natural process of falling movement and the mind that notes it. you do not find anything which is everlasting.Apart from this dual process of rising movement and the mind that notes it. Except for this dual process, you do not find anything through your experience. You are realizing the movementarises one after another, and then the mind notes it. The falling movement rises, and then you note it. In this way, at the moment, you are observing rising movement and falling movement. What you are experiencing is the process of a rising movement and the process of a noting mind, the process of a falling movement and the process of a noting mind. Apart from this dual process of mentality and physicality, you do not find anything which is everlasting. So you can judge that there is no everlasting entity except for or apart from mental phenomena and physical phenomena, which are arising and passing away from moment to moment. Then what you have is just a mental process and physical process which constitutes so-called a person, a being. Then again, when you see the rising movement, very tiny movements of a process, the process of a very tiny movement, broken movement, the movement rises one after another. You see there a movement arises, then very instantly passes away. Immediately after its disappearance, another movement arises, and then it also very instantly passes away. Soon after its disappearance, another movement arises and passes away. In this way, many tiny broken movements are rising and passing away. Then you are the mind, the noting mind knows it and realizes it as impermanent. Then, when your concentration is deep enough, the noting mind is also realized as appearance and disappearance one after another. When a movement arises, then the mind notes it, then that mind has disappeared. Then another movement arises, and then the mind notes it, and then it's disappeared. Then another movement arises, and then the mind notes it, and then it also disappears. In this way, you come to realize that the noting mind also as arising and passing away, ever changing, transient. Then, here, we do not take rising movement to be a person, a being, a nino, a you, a self, or a soul, which we regard as the everlasting. And the mind that knows it also not identify with ourselves. We don't take it to be a person, a being, an I or a you, a self or soul, which we regard as the everlasting. Then we do not find any everlasting self or a person, a being among the rising movement and also the mind that notes it, among falling movements, and the mind that notes it. Then, as we have realized earlier, there is no everlasting entity beside this dual process of mental and physical phenomena. Then what we can judge? Every mental and physical process is subject to impermanence, so they are not everlasting entity, everlasting person or being, self or soul. So they are anatta. Anatta means the egolessness, impersonal nature, no self. Then, is there any everlasting entity besides this dual process of mental and physical phenomena? Then through your experience you know that. Is there any everlasting entity besides this dual process of mental and physical phenomena? You find? No. Then there is no everlasting entity independent of mental and physical process too. And mental and physical process are also not everlasting entity, self also. Then in the two ways we come to judge. There's no so-called everlasting entity, which may be known as a person, being, self or soul, ego or atta. Then we come to realize here the third characteristic of the existence very clearly, that's anatta. There are three characteristics of the existence of mental and physical phenomena: anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, or unsatisfactoriness. Anatta, impersonal nature, or egolessness, selflessness. And here, when we observe, rise and fall of the abdomen, or any mental or physical process which is arising at the moment, we come to realize none of these mental and physical phenomena are permanent, so they are not everlasting self or soul, person or being. Then there is also no everlasting entity independent of this dual process, or apart from this dual process, or besides this dual process. Then there's a problem for some thinkers. If there is no everlasting entity or a person or being, self or soul, at the death of a person, what transmigrates to another existence? This is what some of the thinkers consider. If there is a new everlasting entity, so-called a person, a being, a self, or a soul, then what transmigrates to another existence? If there's nothing to transmigrate to another existence, there will be no life after death. This is what some of the thinkers consider as a problem. But for the meditator, Buddhist meditator who practices Vipassana meditation, and clearly sees the mental process and physical process arising in person with one after another from moment to moment, that is no problem. It's a very easy question to give the answer. This question usually arises among especially Westerners. Though some of our meditators have very clearly and deeply experienced the appearance and disappearance of mental and physical processes from moment to moment, they tend to find out where the everlasting entity is, which transmigrates to another existence. My last visit here, when our meditation retreat was over in this Virajan retreat center, one of our meditators put the question, if there is no soul which is an everlasting entity, then what's the rebirthing? What's the rebirthing? Our wording is a rebirthing. I have been given this question a very good answer. At that moment, the questioner is nothing but Viviana, Miss Viviana. She asked this question. After our retreat was over in Birigai. Yes. Then, let us go on. Then, when you see, when you observe lifting movement, pushing movement, dropping movement, touching sensation, and pressing movement, when your concentration is deep enough, you see a series of rising movement, many broken movements from the very beginning of lifting to end of it. When you begin to realize it, you see a couple of broken movements, that later on when deep concentration becomes deeper and deeper, you see a many tiny broken movements of a lifting. So today, when the Vivianna had the interview with me, he draws some drawing to demonstrate or to show how he has experienced the movement of a lifting, many series of a lifting movement. He showed me very good drawing. But I think the everlasting entity will be still with her, even though he experienced it. Yes. When you see a series of a movement of a lifting, or a series of a broken movement of a rising, falling, a series of a broken movement of a pushing, then you can see here one movement arises and then passes away. Does the physical process stop that there? One movement arises and passes away. Then the physical process stop there or continue to arise? Another one arises and then passes away. Then another one arises and passes away. In this way, a series of broken movement of lifting is clearly very deeply realized. The same with note in mind. Sometimes some of meditators discover the intention among these movements. Lifting, intending, lifting one movement, intending, lifting another movement, intending, lifting another movement in this way. Some of the meditators discover the intention among these movements. But it's very, very difficult to find this intention among the movements. But they are there. Yeah, what I want to tell you is, what about mental process? When you note rising, falling, or rise, lifting, moving, dropping, only a single mental process knows the object, or a series of consciousness arises and passes away and knows the object. What's that? How could you say? A series of consciousness arising and passing away, or a single mental process arises and knows the object. How? How do you feel? How do you experience? Yes, some meditators see it, but some are not. Yes, the lifespan of so to say, the mental process is 70 times swifter than the lifespan of physical process, according to Buddhist Abhidhamma.
you follow me, I'll repeat it. The lifespan of a mental process is 17 times swifter than that of a physical process. Then, at the moment, a physical movement arises and passes away. At that moment, 70 consciousness arisen and passing away. Yes, some of the meditators see not that clearly. Then, here, what I want you to know is that none of mental process or none of consciousness stops after its appearance. It continues to arise one after another, arising and passing away one after another, moment to moment. You know that when you are aware of daily activities, you very carefully observe each activity with the intention. Then you note intention, then lifting, then you note intention, stretching, then you note intention, bringing the food, and so on. Then, did you note only one intention or many different intentions? Many different intentions. Then, mental state, that's the intention. Arises and passed away, then it's stop there. Does it stop there? Huh? How? Another intention arises and then passes away. After that, then another one, in the same way, many process of intentions arising and passing away. You know that. Then here, what we should remember is, why does another intention or another mental process arise? Why does another movement of lifting arise? To find a cause. Huh? Because? Opposite things. Yeah. We'll take a very good example. Very recently, the Prime Minister of Australia resigned. Then, after his resignation, there's a new Prime Minister in Australia. Huh? Huh? Is there any Prime Minister now? Huh? New one? Haha, new one arises. New one arises. When hawk disappears, then feeding arises. Huh? Then, why does feeding arises? Independence of what? Independence of what? For disappearance. Yes. If we say very frankly and directly, because of disappearance of a hawk, then Keating arises. Is it right? Yes. If a hawk remains until now in the post, then Keating doesn't arise. And why does Keating arise? Because the hawk has to disappear. That's nature. When one thing has disappeared, then another thing arises. When that also has disappeared, then another thing arises. That's when one entity has disappeared, another entity arises. Then one movement of lifting arises and first disappeared, then another movement arises and then vanished. Then here, what is the cause of the rising of new things? What is the cause of the rising of new things? Yes, sir? Arises in process with. Why does new consciousness arise? Because the old one has disappeared. Disappearance of the old one is because arising of the new one is effect. Then here we should notice this fact. According to the law of nature, nothing has stopped when it has disappeared. Then another thing arises because of its disappearance. There are two types of view in the Pali text expounded by the Buddha. One is a view that holds, which holds that everything is eternal, permanent. So there is everlasting entity, it is that ego entity, which is everlasting, it's eternal, it never dies, it never can never be destroyed, so it's everlasting and eternal. So when a man dies, that everlasting entity or self or soul does not die because it's everlasting and eternal. So it goes out of the dead body and transmigrate to another existence. This is one of the two views which was expounded by the Buddha. Then here, how can we say is this view is right or wrong? through your personal experience by means of this mindfulness meditation, I ask you this question, not just a theoretical knowledge. Now we have seen that when we observe any mental process or physical process, what we are discovering is physical process that's arising in person away from moment to moment. The mental process that notes the object, it's also rising in person away. So none of a mental or physical process is everlasting. You find? Yes. They are impermanent, very instantly arises and very swiftly passes away. So then, does any of a mental process or physical process transmigrate to another existence? If it's everlasting, it will transmigrate to another existence. If it's not everlasting, it's impermanent and subject to appearance and disappearance at the same moment, then it can't transmigrate to another existence. So, does any mental process or physical process transmigrate to another existence? No. Then, suppose if there is anything which is everlasting, it may be called the soul or self or person or being. If there is anything which is everlasting, independent of this dual process of a mental and physical phenomena, does that thing transmigrate to next existence? Yes. Then, is there any so-called everlasting ego entity besides this mental and physical phenomena? No, then, what does transmigrate to another existence? Causing effect transmigrate. Yes, causing effect cannot transmigrate. The cause arises and then passes away. The effect also arises and passes away. It cannot transmigrate. Then here, what we can say is that there is nothing which transmigrates to another existence. Do you agree with me? Dissolved. Yes, mental factors arising and passing away. If it's arising and passing away, how can it transmigrate to another existence? The only thing which is everlasting can transmigrate to another existence. If anything is arising and passing away, which is arising and passing away, cannot transmigrate to another existence because it arises and then passes away. You follow? Yes? Then, now we have seen on a series of broken movements of the lifting arises one after another, and also on a series of consciousness arising and passing away one after another. And how can cheating arise when the hawk has disappeared? We have seen. Then, when the last consciousness of the previous existence, say the present existence, has disappeared, is there anything after it, immediately after it? Yes, there must be another one. But because it's a natural, it's the law of nature. Well, a consciousness has disappeared, there must arise another consciousness immediately after the old one's disappearance. You follow? Yes. Then, when the last consciousness of the present existence has disappeared, there must arise another consciousness in according to the natural law. Then, the consciousness that arises after disappearance of the previous consciousness is not in this existence, not in present existence. Then what can we say? Then that consciousness is in another existence. There one life arises. Then does anything transmigrate from this existence to the next one? No. Only there's a cause. What's the cause? The disappearance of the previous consciousness is the cause. That's the disappearance of the last consciousness of this existence, present existence, is the cause. The appearance of the new existence is an effect. Because the last consciousness of present existence has disappeared or passed away, so the new consciousness of another existence has arisen. Then do we need something which is everlasting to transmigrate to another existence? No. This is a cause and effect. That's why I said, when you have very clearly realized this cause and effect of mental and physical phenomena, then you have many benefits and you are studying Dhamma. When you are not able to realize this nature of arising of the new one after disappearance of the old one through your experience, you have the idea that there must be an entity, everlasting entity, which transmigrates to another existence. Only when you have realized this cause and effect and a series of lifting movement and a series of consciousness arising and passing away from moment to moment, you come to rightly understand how a new existence becomes to be. You follow? Is it possible to have a new existence without everlasting entity? Yes. Then, when a person holds that there is an everlasting entity which transmigrates to another existence, that view is called eternalism, Sasada Ditti in Pali. Sasada Ditti in Pali. It's called eternalism. The Buddha rejects this view. This view is not right, because we see mental and physical phenomena which are arising and passing away one after another, from moment to moment. So nothing is eternal. Everything is transient, impermanent. Then another view is there's a ego entity which is temporarily lasting, which dissolves at the death of a person. This ego entity, which is lasting for whole life, say temporarily, is annihilated at the death of a person, because physical body has dissolved at the death. The same with that everlasting ego entity, not everlasting, that temporary lasting ego entity, it also dissolves with the death of the body. It's annihilated at the death of the person. So there's no life after death. Then, if there's no life after death, then is there any life before born, birth? No. So life is between womb and tomb. Life is between womb and tomb. That ego entity, which is the last thing, temporarily, is annihilated at the death. So this is called annihilationism. Annihilationism. We call it Uccida Ditti. The Buddha rejected it because there's nothing which is lasting, which is dissolved at the death of the person. When a person dies, then the consciousness, the last consciousness has disappeared, but another consciousness arises immediately after its disappearance. Why does another consciousness arise? Because the previous consciousness is the last consciousness of the present life, present existence has disappeared. Disappearance of a previous consciousness is the cause and the arising of the new consciousness effect. In this way, the two are connected or related as a cause and effect. Nothing transmigrates to another existence. Do you agree with me? This is what the Buddha taught. The Buddha taught. Then Uchira deity, annihilationism, is also not right. Sasta deity, eternalism, is also not right. Then what's the right? Yes, they are mental and physical processes which are arising and passing away, ever changing from moment to moment. They depend on each other as cause and effect. It's a right. So it's called the causal relation. Then, here what the Buddha teaches us is a dependent origination, smupadeja samubhada. In accordance with this, these links between the previous existence and the next one, the follow one. Then, shall we explain this dependent origination, prasasamupada? This is included in the inside knowledge, the discerned cause and effect, conditionality. Shall we explain you? Yes, yes. Why? Yes. Why? Yes, you see, the disappearance, because of a disappearance of the previous consciousness, and there arises the following consciousness. It's called Natti Pacchiyo in Buddhist Vidama. Natti Pacchiyo. Pacchiyo means a cause. Natti means absence. Absence of the previous consciousness is the cause. Then the arising of the follow one is the effect. So this is called Natti Pacchiyo, the cause of absence. There are 24 causes, we call it interrelated causes, expounded by the Buddha and Vidama scriptures. So it's called Natti Pacchiyo, the cause of absence, because the previous ones has disappeared, or absence of the previous one, the new one arises, the following one arises, and so on. Yes. There are at least two or three causes to make something arise. Not a single cause can make any mental process or physical process arise. There are at least not two or three or four causes. Here, even though the last consciousness of the present existence has disappeared, there doesn't arise new consciousness in some cases. You know that. You have some knowledge of the noble ones, Arya Pugala, according to Buddhism. The first one is Sotapanna. The second one is Sakadagami, the third one is Anagami, the fourth one, last one is Arahant. You have heard of Arahant? Yes. Even though the last consciousness for Arahant has disappeared, there is no other consciousness arising. Then, after disappearance of Arahant, there is no life after it for Arahant. Then, this is against the natural law. Do you agree with me? Yes. What's the natural law? Natural law is when the first one has disappeared, then the second one must arise. That's the natural law. Now, when the first one, the period, the last consciousness of the Arahant has passed away, but there doesn't arise any new consciousness. So it's against the natural law. He has no another existence. Why? That is craving for existence. Another cause. Craving for existence. We call it bhavatana. We call it bhavatana. See, everyone wants to live. No one wants to die. It's right. Then it means everyone has a craving for existence. Because of that craving or attachment to existence, that force motivates the consciousness to arise after the last one has disappeared. Then we can say, because we are willing to live, we have another existence. Or we are attached to our life, we have another life after the first one has disappeared. Is it right? That is called bhavatana, craving for existence. Arahant, who has attained all the four stages of the path knowledge and the four stages of fruition knowledge, hasn't any craving or attachment at all. Because all craving and attachment of his has been destroyed by the enlightenment, the fourth stage of enlightenment, which is a very powerful and penetrating. So he hasn't any craving or attachment or desire to be reborn again, or for the another existence. That's why he hasn't any existence after his passing away. Even though the last consciousness of Arahant has disappeared, there's no other consciousness that's arising. Why? Because he is not attached to existence. Because he has no craving for existence. Then, here, this is against the natural law. Why? Because naturally, the Arahant has destroyed all attachment and craving and desire. So then here we find one cause. Not only disappearance of the lost consciousness of the existence, but also there is a craving for existence, which makes another life arise. Then how many causes? Two causes. One is passing disappearance of the last consciousness of the present existence. Another one is a craving for existence. And there is also another cause. You know that. Huh? Do you know that? Action, karma. Karma also one of the causes to make another life arise, to give rise to another existence. What do you mean karma? By karma? Action. Bad action or good action. Bad action gives rise to bad existence. Good action gives rise to good existence. This karma action also one of the causes. So when these three causes they combined together and give rise to the existence, another existence, the time's up. The dimes up. So, what you should do, you should observe the intention, every intention before every action, and also to try to be able to realize every movement of the full, every movement of rising and falling movement, and the other actions also very specifically and precisely, so that you can realize these things through your experience. Huh? May all of you become enlightened and achieve the cessation.